Cosmophilia. You belong here. Your 2015 astrology. During the break, I was listening to the music of Angelo Badalamenti. I believe that's the right pronunciation. The compositions being from the original Twin Peaks television series directed by a guy named David Lynch, one of your brother Capricorns, who is, I think, the embodiment of Capricorn creativity in his shocking innovation, at the same time his honoring of what is old and what is traditional. His work is just exquisite in that regard, of blending the old and the new, as are you. And in addition, I think he is so exemplary of the layered quality of Capricorn, the many intricate spaces, all of them different, all of them entirely unique and individual, that seems to be fed by some compressed, concentrated spirituality that is kind of released into this maze of consciousness all the time, as if some kind of like background function, radiation emanating that animates you and makes sure that you are fully awake. There are other dimensions of Capricorn that describe this. Capricorn is the sign that begins with the sun at the southern solstice, Tropic of Capricorn being the southern tropic, and the sign Capricorn begins when the sun is square, the rays of the sun touch the earth at an exact right angle, and when the sun is there, it is over the Tropic of Capricorn. It's the southernmost tropic. It's kind of like the equator, only it's the extreme. And in the northern hemisphere, these are the shortest days at this time of year, but there is also the sensation of a bounce at the time of the winter solstice in the north. I've never experienced the southern hemisphere personally. Sorry to say, would love to get down there. And that bounce is a release of concentrated energy. It is almost like the initial impulse that starts off the momentum of our year. The calendar year here in the West is timed around the Capricorn solstice. The month January is a kind of a play on the Latin word Janus, which is a doorway, and you can think of the solstice as an energetic doorway. It is also a reversal of the great machine of the cosmos as experienced from Earth, and there is a kind of unraveling that occurs the beginning at the time of the solstice. It's a very exciting time. It's a very challenging time for people as well. There is this sensation of being called within. A struggle often ensues. It is a depressing time for many people, especially those with seasonal affect, those who require more sunlight and are not taking enough vitamin D, and of course all of the commitments and obligations associated with the holidays and the family structure is a factor for many people. And Pluto's action, Pluto penetrating through those layers of Capricorn and opening up spaces inside that Capricorn matrix, is something distinct about our times. The informality of the times that we are living in is a thing that can be described by Pluto in Capricorn having that kind of devastating effect on stuffy tradition. And yet at the same time, there is a recovery of so many things that are old, so many things that are needing to be recovered in our time of history. That includes things like growing one's own food, for example. It includes a return to the use of, you know, materials that have been, honored in tradition, actual cloth, actual glass, a great many activities that people are choosing to do themselves, and the recovery of older technologies that we need now in our time of consciously finite resources. And as Pluto moves through your sign, there is that at once that kind of demolition of the stuffed shirt version of tradition and the impulse to recover that which is necessary, that which works better than what we do today, that which deserves to be a tradition, you know, sitting around the fire, spending time with people. And in your case, the tradition of the family, but the family as you define it. You have tremendous freedom to define the concept of family on your own terms. And with that, I'd like to talk a little bit about relationships for you. You are most likely the type who leans toward traditional relationships, and there is something of a retro movement toward these traditional relationships, but that retro movement seems to be failing for a number of reasons, including the striving for permanence in a world where everything seems to be increasingly impermanent. And in addition, the kind of pressure that is put on all of us, especially on young people, but really on everyone, to expect relationships to perform a certain way where there is not a corresponding degree of maturity and self-actualization. I think that any kind of relationship is available, but that availability is subject to certain conditions that must be met to make it possible. And one of the conditions for this lifelong partnership thing is about having the kind of inner knowledge that it takes to relate to anyone over a long period of time, the inner knowledge that it takes to be able to participate in a conscious way, which kind of is predicated on consciousness and having gone through enough things to get that. And there is a difference between life partnership and romance, and that difference is not often mentioned enough. I mean, it's really like the difference between, you know, something disposable and something that you intend to keep for a while. But even a precious thing that you acquire in the world of material objects, something you intend to keep for a long time, you really don't know how long you are going to get to keep that thing, even though you may get the best one. And the transient nature of relationships is something that is vital to make contact with while we are kind of seeking permanence. You are aware of that cyclical nature. You experience transience in relationships as something that is cyclical, and I think it's meaningful to know that and to give your relationships the opportunity to grow, to change, to cycle, to be able to go through the changes that they need to go to on the way to a kind of permanence. So the paradox of relationships, of course, has many ways of expressing itself, but the paradox of relationships for you is allowing change, allowing movement, allowing the quality of a seasonal type of experience, and even quicker than the seasons, allowing relationships in a sense to be at a different phase every day in a similar way to the way the moon moves through phases quite rapidly and then comes back to where it started. That is the nature of your relationships. But because there is so much activity in the quadrant of your chart, a little bit more than a quadrant, it's actually five houses that are the most inward and intimate and personal. You know, most of the large astrology that we are talking about in our era is taking place between your 12th and your 4th house. So these are the houses that describe the inner life, the deep past, one's emotional reality, one's inner psychic reality, the quality of consciousness, the way that you identify as a person, what you say that you are. And so your inner life has to come first, and the relationships that you have very much need to come second. They need to be in service of who you are becoming. And I believe that it's possible to have them be that way without your dominating them per se. I think that mature people understand that they exist, and because they exist, they can relate to others, rather than the way that equation is often turned, is that I don't exist, but then when I have a relationship, I do exist. That's the thing to be careful of. You know, make sure that your relationships are outgrowths of your existence rather than the thing that validates or justifies or even, going a step further, proves your existence. Now, that said, the indicator, to me, the indicator in your chart of relationships tells the story of needing to make contact with people who have a very high degree of self-respect, people who have some accomplishment to their name that has given them confidence. And that accomplishment does not necessarily need to be in the public sphere. They don't need to be famous or VIPs in any normal sense of that word, what we think of as somebody who's important, but rather individuals who understand that they are participants and that their participation in life actually matters. This would take out of play for you people who are living what you perceive to be a trivial experience of life. The sense of connection to the world, of contact, and of relevance is something that you can tap into very easily, and that gives you a basis of connection to other people. There's another factor which has been a very long-term factor in your life, which is about equality. Equality is a misunderstood concept, but I would describe it as, for you, the experience of being on level ground with someone. The tendency in our relationships is for there to be someone who is dominant and someone who is submissive. It's not going to work for you to be submissive. You are, at this point in your life, discovering your strength of character, your independence, your personal power, and that is not going to facilitate being in a submissive role. But a dominant role is not going to work either, because, as I'm sure you've encountered, you have the ability to be very domineering if you tap into that. And with Pluto active in your chart, that means that that may not be pleasant for others unless there is a genuine, passionate, submissive quality that someone has. And that does exist in the world, though it is rare to find. It is probably easier to identify, at least in the first instance, who is standing on level ground, who is someone that you can look across at, and someone who possesses self-respect. A very important quality for you to engage as an equalizing factor. And that is one reason to seek contact with individuals who recognize their place in the world, who recognize their contact with society, who know they have some grounding and they have a sense of orientation, and more important than anything, a sense of purpose. Others may gravitate to you to compensate for that sense of purpose, and I would say that that will not serve anyone in the long run. Your sense of purpose is changing and is deepening and is being shaped as you kind of collide with certain forces in society, and you need to be the master of your own sense of purpose, and the people around you very much need to be the master of their sense of purpose. There is another factor at work in particular this year, and that is the factor of the meaning of and the feeling of sex. Now, it's my experience that Capricorn is one of the not only more highly sexed signs, but also one of the signs that is the most honest about that fact and able to kind of dip into the well and come out with some kind of hot and fiery. Capricorn is an earth sign. It is ruled by Saturn, but the planet that's exalted in Capricorn is Mars, and Mars is about the affirmative, passionate, no equivocation expression of desire. And one of the ways that your highly sexed nature is expressing itself in this particular year is through a conjunction of Venus and Pluto that is happening right around the time of your birthday in 2014. And that is what you might call the conjunction of soulful lust. I know that lust is looked down upon, and it is, especially in spiritual movements and Buddhism and whatever, I don't know, Buddhism does not necessarily specifically judge it, but, you know, it's certainly not well favored by any spiritual philosophy that keeps a straight face that I have ever read. It is always, or at least almost always, characterized as the very antithesis of that which is spiritual. And if you've never challenged this idea, I would propose that now is the time. And if you have challenged this idea, which is very possible given the prolonged presence of Pluto in your sign, kind of burrowing into that deep inner Scorpio dimension, assisted no less by Saturn, your ruling planet, having been in Scorpio for the past 2 years, and with a little bit of time remaining in 2015 of Saturn in Scorpio, that Scorpio dimension is something that may be very accessible and coming very naturally to you. And I would say that the honest expression of soulful, lusty passion is something that your relationships must not only accommodate, but facilitate, and that at the very least you be honest about how you actually feel, honest about what the real nature of your desire being is about. It is possible, given the influence of all of these centaurs and outer planets that are moving through Sagittarius, that you are having extraordinary dream activity. And in that dream activity, there is likely to be all manner of kaleidoscopic sexuality that exists both by, you know, its vividly portrayed nature and also by various forms of insinuation and tapping into primal and or genetic memory that is reminding you that you really are only a civilized human, well-behaved, prim and proper, and all that on one level. And on another level, you are very much a cosmic being who has manifested here on Earth to have all the experiences that you can have on Earth, and to have those experiences in anything less than an honest way is to miss those experiences. You can't really enjoy something if you are lying to yourself about whether it's fun. You can't really enjoy something if you are not able to admit the fact that you do enjoy that thing to the people who you love and the people who you're closest to, and indeed the ones with whom you might share that experience. And so, in many ways, your chart is advocating radical honesty about who and what you are and what you feel and what you want, and is helping set up the conditions to make that possible. There has perhaps never been a time when you were less dependent upon a certain kind of relationship, mainly because that certain kind of relationship is not very well equipped to accommodate the kinds of changes that you are going through. And the kind of relationship that does accommodate those changes is going to be something that is unique in all the world and that is truly based either on love or a kind of fraternal trust that reminds you that you are actually safe to have these experiences and have these feelings. But remember that experiences and feelings are expressions of being. They are not these kind of add-ons. They are what makes you fundamentally who and what you are. And I would say that anyone who cannot handle who you are is not a suitable partner for you. And the test of all your relationships, I would propose, needs to be whether or not someone actually can accommodate, make the space for, coexist with the truth of your actual being. This does not, of course, mean there won't be, you know, challenges of growth or encounters that help you change in certain directions. Change is a very important part of being. It's a very important part of tradition. And it is the very essence of Pluto in Capricorn. But the accommodation piece, the reality that someone is basically spacious enough and well-grounded enough to accommodate you, well, that's the very foundation of things. All right, let's consider work-related relationships and also the sense of purpose that you have on this planet. The quality of the work that you do, interestingly, is described by air signs. What matters the most to you? The daily activity that you have and your relationship to success, authority, and basically power. All of these things are described by air signs. And one interesting thing about our moment is that the air signs are somewhat quiet. There is one real exception, and that is a collection of planets that has just began to align in the very first degrees of Libra, which is your 10th house. Now, these are subtle energies because they are distant from the sun, though orbiting our planet, and they are not well known. They are not well trodden astrological archetypes. And so their existence is something that needs to be pointed out. The end, I would also point out that among the few deep space points that I use is one in early Libra called M87. It's a massive galaxy, and galaxies are often being read like black holes. I still prefer to think of them as galaxies that have a black hole, and in any event, we're talking about a lot of gravity and a universe of possibilities, because each galaxy is a kind of a universe. And M87 is an especially large one with a curious quality of a kind of a jet emanating from it. And so if we want to think of Capricorns as being ambitious people, one way to think about that is in the style of M87, it being very large, very heavy, and ejecting a huge amount, expressing a huge amount of energy. And M87 is just always there, right at the top of your chart. It is in itself a kind of a beacon. It's easy to look up an image of M87. There have been lots of photographs taken of it. It's pretty easy to see galaxies, though I'm sure they are very different when you get close to them, which we cannot do because they all are so far away that we cannot send a spaceship out there to take a picture, much less send a person out there. But this is the ongoing magnetism and drive for success. Said simply, it is otherworldly. The often described Capricorn ambition for success, in my mind, I've got some weird opinions of the signs, but whether it works for you is the real question, is something not quite of this world. This is true in a way similar to the way in which Sagittarius informs your sign. This vast well of energy that is lurking just below the surface of your pragmatic personality, which is actually a little like, you know, sticking your head out the window and being in the universe and looking at a massive swirl of galaxies moving at 1,000,000 miles an hour, which is actually what is going on in your 12th house in Sagittarius, thanks to the presence of the Great Attractor. And in a similar way, what is described as worldly impulse or tendency to success, to climb, to be better, to have authority, all have a calling way beyond this world. And there are now two planets that are aligning with M87. They are slow movers, and by slow mover I mean slower than the 2.5 centuries that it takes Pluto to go around. One is called Logos, and one is called Makemake. I don't have the exact orbital periods, but they are Kuiper objects, and they are in the 300-year range, and that makes them very slow movers, meaning, first of all, that any sign change by these planets is significant, and they are in one now, and they are crossing one of the angles of your solar chart, and they will be with you for a long time. But the conjunction of Logos, Makemake, M87 is something that will be with you only for a couple of years, and this is the one where it really comes into tune. And this is suggesting a couple of things. One of them is the sacred nature of language and technology. I'm reading the work of Marshall McLuhan, studying the work as presented in lectures, and also spending a lot of time with one of his relatives who actually knew him. And one of the things that we get from this philosopher, 20th century media philosopher, is that all of this media that we use are extensions of the senses. the microphone that I am speaking into, all of the processing equipment that it is going into, and the computer file that will eventually be recreated as my voice coming through your computer or portable device, are all extensions of my voice. The speakers or headphones that you are listening through are extensions of your ears. And so we have been able to extend ourselves out into this strange digital medium and have a meeting somewhere in the ethers, some kind of interesting disembodied meeting where I am actually able to speak to you about your life and your experience. And to me, the planet Logos represents the honoring of technology as an extension of human experience. It is literally an extension of our nervous systems, our bodies, our consciousness, and that extension is changing us. The way that we are able to reach our consciousness around the globe and to have instantaneous communication, and I'm speaking words that may be preserved for centuries, kind of amazing. And so this is suggesting that whatever it is that you are doing that would fall generally under the category of profession, that it be honoring of this one fact. The fact of all of this stuff that we're doing now and all of this new media being about extensions of our humanity, of our most fundamental biological functions. And that is the thing that basically divides what you might think of as pre-electronic consciousness and electronic consciousness. And we went through a major watershed with this in the late 1950s and early 1960s when television took over. And we are going through another one now as digital, interactive, hands-on, do-it-yourself media is taking over. So I don't know quite what it is that you want to do, but I would suggest that the beauty of this transformation that our society is going through be essential to that, that you honor that idea in whatever you're doing. And if you have some certain calling, that it may very well involve this quality of the times in which we are living. In addition, the planet Maki Maki, to me, talks about the fertile nature of what you do, the ability that it has to reproduce, to lay eggs, as it were. There is a caution, additionally, in competition for its own sake. Competition illustrated throughout the year in the Venus-Mars conjunction, which I'll have more to say in the written portion of your reading, also indicated in Maki Maki. There is a kind of a game that it is best to avoid, and the, I think, overarching message of this particular transit being in Libra, in addition to a year of conjunctions of Venus and Mars, is saying, look for ways to not play the game of competition, in particular gender competition. But gender competition takes many forms, including some very catty games that women can play with one another, and some very mean games that traditionally men have played with one another, and then all variety of competition between the sexes. And I know that right now it is all the rage, and that much of it is being packaged as a kind of progressivism, meaning sold to us in the name of progress. And I would offer the caution that, at least in my perception, much of that is counterfeit. It is self-defeating, and it is not ever going to do what its proponents claim that it's going to do, which is to help level the ground that people are on. Victimization and claiming the right to be a victim will never level the ground that we stand on. And anything you can do to avoid patterns of victimization, whether they be, you know, as victim, as victimizer, or as enabler or rescuer, I would suggest that you do your best to learn how those things work and to make sure that you have the awareness to step aside from them. Additionally, a planet in this rather spectacular grand conjunction within 1 degree that's happening on the day of the 2014 solstice, which is the kind of opening bell for 2015, is the involvement of the planet Astraea, a minor planet, a very special asteroid, being the fifth ever discovered asteroid. The reason that is meaningful is that between 1801 and 1807, the first four asteroids were discovered, and in, if I recall correctly, 1845, many years later, a long gap, more than three decades, the fifth asteroid was discovered. That was named Astraea, and Astraea is the goddess of justice. She reminds me a bit of an Athene-like character, but is, I think, more focused on justice than on protection and battling and argumentation that the asteroid Pallas Athene has. And so in Libra in particular, and as involved in this grand conjunction, Astraea is saying that your work must involve standing up for justice in some way, and that even if you're not, for example, working for an NGO or a civil rights organization or a law firm or doing some form of journalism or activism, that you be the embodiment of justice, that you be the uncompromising voice of truth in your environment. And far from being off-putting to leadership, that is your claim to leadership. That is not your challenge to authority, but rather your boldly taking authority for a specific purpose that you understand as being the right thing. On that very exciting note, I am going to leave you and will take a pause and move on to the sign Sagittarius. I am, as you may know, working backwards through the signs, and then in a couple of weeks I will come back to these notes in this recording and prepare the written version of your reading. At least that's according to the plan. If you're interested in some additional clues about your professional life, I suggest you listen to the Libra horoscope, because that is where I will get into this grand conjunction involving M87 and Maki Maki and Astraea and Logos. And if you're interested in information about your relationships, I suggest you check in with the recording and written reading for the sign Cancer, because that is, in a sense, the look at your chart from the opposite direction, from the direction that someone else might perceive you. In a sense, I'm taking up the voice of your relationship partners in the reading for the sign Cancer, and that might be useful. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. A pleasure, as ever, to do this work and to make contact with you at this momentous time in your life, and knowing that part of why it's so momentous is that you are now able to intersect with our culture at one of its most profound times of change in many generations. All right. Till next time. Bye for now.